Humans are becoming an increasingly urban species. Many of us want to move to metropolitan city centers and urban towns for better job opportunities or for the excitement of the city life. And this poses a really challenging developmental question of where are all of these people going to go? And if you live in a city, you might have noticed the expansion and the development of your city to suburbs, and this is what we call urban sprawl. Urban sprawl is essentially the expansion of a geographical extent of a city or town, and it's often characterized by low-density development, meaning housing that's being built on really large land lots or really scattered land lots. And it's also characterized by the dependence on the individual automobile for each person's transportation. Los Angeles is a great example of this. Over the years, their residential housing area has expanded, there are larger lots, and then traffic has also increased incredibly. And if you've ever been there, you know the best way, even though there's massive traffic, is to get around with a car because the transit system is just inefficient. The causes of urban sprawl can be local population growth, so the need to accommodate a rising urban population. It could also be lifestyle choices, people wanting more space, more privacy, or lower and cheaper housing, or more amenities like pools. But it can also be restrictive zoning laws that are defining residential areas, commercial areas, and not integrating them together so that it's easier to get from where you are living to where you need to be for work to where you want to be for daycare. Urban sprawl has been correlated with many problems that vary among different cities, and I'll be going over some of those examples now, such as an increase in air and water pollution, an increase in water consumption, the degradation of human health, the loss of land and wildlife, an increase in traffic and fatalities, and an increased risk of floods. The increase of air pollution can be attributed to longer and more frequent commutes. On the World Health Organization site, you'll see an article on pollution where it says that transport is a large contributor to air pollution, and that it ranges from city to city in terms of how much contribution that is. And lastly, that in part it's due to old and inefficient diesel vehicles, but also a lack of public and active transport network. An increase in water pollution can be associated to cars as well due to condensation and rainwater. And that rainwater picks up gasoline, paints, heavy metals, and other pollutants from runoff sources such as lawns or parking lots or driveways, and eventually those accumulate in very large and toxic amounts, and they pollute our waterways such as streams and lakes and rivers. An increase in water consumption is often associated with having more land and having more amenities, whether you're using more water for your very large lawn or your huge pool or your garden or washing your car several times a week or even washing your driveway, which some people do. According to a Smart Growth America study, there is a clear correlation between urban sprawl and the epidemic levels of obesity and chronic diseases related to physical inactivity. This study compared the county sprawl index to the health characteristics of over 200,000 people in 448 counties and found that those affected by urban sprawl were walking and biking less, driving more, had a higher body mass index, and were suffering from hypertension. In addition to that, we've discussed the effects of urban sprawl on air pollution, which can of course affect respiratory ailments such as asthma or bronchitis, or even life-threatening issues like cancer. An issue I didn't mention in my intro, which I'm just gonna squeeze in right now, is the wasted tax money that will be spent on subsidizing these new developments as opposed to working on the current developments and cities that we have. We will need to spend extra money on developing the water lines, sewage lines, police and fire departments, schools, and all kinds of developmental needs, whereas we could be spending that money on our current cities, and so likely taxes will rise. Inevitably, sprawling affects the loss of land, the development on land that was once non-developed, and so we need to take a look at farmlands or forests or various wildlife habitats that we're now destroying and engulfing to create concrete highways and housing and schools. And that's creating a very big threat to many ecosystems that are now fragmented or destructed or separated from one another. There is a quote I really appreciate that goes, "Will urban sprawl spread so far that most people lose all touch with nature? Will the day come when the only bird a typical American child ever sees is a canary in a pet shop window? When the only wild animal he knows is a rat glimpsed on a night drive through some city slum? When the only tree he touches is the cleverly fabricated plastic evergreen that shades his gift on Christmas morning?" That's deep. Now, as urban areas spread out, our trips are lengthened. People spend more time in their cars and their trucks. And not only does that increase traffic congestion, but it also increases traffic fatalities. Sprawling developments can drain and destroy wetlands, which are really important for absorbing floodwaters. And floods can cost a ton in property damage and even take lives. And a lot of wetland draining happens in areas with weak zoning laws where developers are permitted to drain those wetlands to create floodplains. Now, there are other effects of sprawling, such as the increase in heat from all of the extra concrete, which doesn't help any city meet their climate change goals, and is also a big health factor for the, depending on where you live, for the increase in heat, which can make summers or, you know, hot times unbearable and dangerous. So now that we've gone over what many of the problems are associated with urban sprawl, what would the solutions look like? So what should we be aiming for? What is a good city? And many people are labeling this as smart cities or cities of the future, but there isn't one clear agreement on what the definition is, since every city's problems are quite unique and need to be addressed differently. But generally speaking, there are some factors in common, such as increasing the density and the dependency on transit-oriented or a transit-oriented focus where there's more walking or there's more biking or you can easily take the metro. And also limiting greenfield development so that we can maintain farmland and biodiversity. Stay tuned for an upcoming video on smart cities where I'll be going more in depth and giving some examples of various cities around the world that are currently existing and others that are in development that are rezoning and they're adopting new technological advancements, they're creating smaller housing, they're being very transit focused, so that will be coming shortly. And if you do want to get involved in the stopping of urban sprawl, you can look into your city and whether there are any campaigns going on. I know that currently in Ottawa, Canada, where I live, there is a Hold the Line campaign. And this is to encourage citizens to reach out to our mayor and ask him to hold the line on the urban sprawl so that we can focus on developing what is already developed and not increase our tax money and climate change issues, health issues, and many of the examples I gave today, which will inevitably impact the city. So if you're interested, I'll link the campaign in the description. And other than that, I hope you have a great day. I hope you learned something. And if you want to drop a comment, drop a suggestion for another video, always feel free to do that. If you're not subscribed, subscribe. And I will see you next Wednesday.